Thank you for tuning in today. We're considering deeply the I Am statements of Jesus Christ in the New Testament Gospel of John, and I'm taking just one of the I Am statements to which Jesus attached a metaphor for who he is. I have selected this one. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." What does Jesus mean by this? He says of himself that he is the good shepherd. How so? We want to answer this question because of our overarching goal, and that is to see how everything we need, God already has within himself to give to us. God is sufficient to meet all our needs because God is self-sufficient. Jesus has what we need, and what we all need is his good shepherding. But first, we have to understand what this shepherding is. So join me again in John chapter 10, and I will begin reading verses 11 through 14. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. And we have identified Jesus as the good shepherd. We have acknowledged there are bad shepherds, and we have answered the question, who are the sheep? But just to briefly remind you, the sheep are genuine Christian people. If you've put your faith alone in Christ alone, submitting yourself to him as a sinner, in desperate need of his grace and mercy, then you're a sheep. Who did Christ lay down his life for? He died for every person who will believe in him because God has chosen us and because God has regenerated us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be one of Christ's sheep. We are his flock. And I know many of you listening are fellow sheep. We're sort of hanging out together weekdays in the sheep pen, as it were. Welcome." But perhaps you are listening right now, and you're not one of Christ's sheep. You're outside the sheepfold, lonely, lost, and susceptible to great harm. The wolves who like to devour sheep are circling, and they're hungry. You've got people in your life that want to destroy you, do you great harm. You require a good shepherd who will welcome you into his fold and care for you. This is who Jesus is. He's the good shepherd. So I invite you to stick with me today and in the days that come as we learn together what Jesus offers you. It's an ugly world out there with many mean people in it. Do you have them in your family, in your work, in your neighborhood? Yes, so do I. But let's come to Jesus now and receive our protection and peace. And so let me take us back to our understanding of John 10, verses 11 through 14. The text says, "Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep." And this describes the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross. So Jesus actually, literally, really did die for his sheep. John chapter 19 describes this death in detail, as do the other Gospels. And the "lays down his life" is important to draw out of the text for discussion because it is uniquely used by John. And when John uses it, he means that Jesus' death was voluntary. Jesus chose to die for us, his sheep. He died by intentional decision. Let me show you this in the Bible and begin by dropping down to verses 17 through 18 right in this same chapter, John chapter 10. I'm reading now John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." There it is. I lay it down on my own initiative. It's on the self-initiative of Christ that he died, and Jesus gave his life for us because God had chosen us to believe in his Son Jesus for salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "God chose us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world." And not only that, but Jesus can take back again his life. He intentionally, on his own initiative, lays it down, and he can take it back again. John chapter 10, verse 17 says, "so that I may take it again." And verse 18 says, "I have authority to take it up again." That's the resurrection. Jesus intentionally rose from the grave. He came back from the dead on his own initiative and by his own decision. As Christians, there's nothing you need that God does not have within himself to give to you. You and I need salvation from sin. We require a Savior. This is the greatest of all our many needs, and so God meets our most profound need in Christ. The Good Shepherd laid down his life voluntarily for us. Wow, how great a salvation is this! And then you and I need resurrection. We need to come back from the dead to live forever, worshiping Christ. And so God meets this need in Christ. This Good Shepherd rose from the dead. He was resurrected first so that we will be resurrected second. And he did this voluntarily for us, his sheep. Wow, again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for our sins and for your resurrection. We are eternally grateful to you. And we desire this same salvation for every one of you listening who do not yet know Jesus as your shepherd. May you come into the sheepfold today. And for those of you, my Christian friends, who have loved ones or someone you care about who are not yet sheep of the shepherd, you need to know that there's something we have to contend with in order to get these folks in the fold. And that is the bad shepherd. Jesus continues in our text, John chapter 10 and verses 12 to 13. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. And so we come to this bad shepherd, this false shepherd. And Jesus uses the term hired hand. So let's ask, who is this? Who is Jesus describing here? Well, in the context of Jesus' life with his audience in John 10, these hired hands represent the Pharisees and other Jewish religious rulers. But this extends to the context in which we find ourselves today and is reflective of those who practice Christian ministry not because they genuinely love people and Christ, but because they love money. Hired hands are those who appear to be engaged in pastoral, shepherding ministry, but instead have a secret motive, financial gain. These are people who present themselves as good shepherds, but indeed are evil, fake shepherds. And there are many of them around today. And so they appear to be genuine shepherds, but when the wolves come, swoosh, they flee and leave the poor sheep to fend for themselves. After all, he's just a hired hand, there for the money. And so when trouble comes, he flees, quoting Jesus, because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. No sacrifice. Self-preservation is the name of the game that these hired hands play. Look carefully with me at what Jesus says about these hired hands. First, they are not shepherds. Quoting Jesus in verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep. Emphasis on not. Not a shepherd. Not the owner of the sheep. Hired hands are imposters. And next, Jesus says, these hired hands flee when they see the wolf coming and leave the sheep. Then the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. This proves that the hired hand never cared about the sheep. He was only there supposedly shepherding for what he could get out of it. And again, this is personal financial gain. The next verse, verse 13, says exactly this. I quote Jesus yet again. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. This is how these charlatans operate. And Jesus is saying of himself, I am the opposite. I am the good shepherd. I am the real one. I am genuine. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will fight off those wolves, and I will be your sure protector. The New Testament warns us repeatedly about these hired hands. Listen to three such warnings. In Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. And then Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2 writes this warning to pastors, "Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness." And again, Peter warns us of the hired hands, this time in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, "And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." This is all so true. And remember my big point. As Christians, there is nothing you need that God does not have within himself to give to you. Well, what we need is a good shepherd who will protect us, and God can meet that need. His ability to meet this need exists within himself. God gives us Jesus as our shepherd, and we want to make certain we have under-shepherds, pastors, spiritual leaders, elders, teachers, and others who are not in it for the money, but rather care genuinely for us and protect us from the wolves who are stalking us. Here is a necessary way for me to apply what Jesus is saying. Be careful who pastors you and who teaches you. This includes who you listen to on the radio and on podcasts. Be very discerning about who you follow. If you've been listening to God Is for any length of time, by now you know this is a major concern of mine. And I want to begin tomorrow by saying more about this and then finishing our discussion of verse 14 of John chapter 10. This week, like all weeks, it seems, is flying by. But we have one more day together, and that's tomorrow. Give some prayerful thought to John 10. Read this over for yourself. I really encourage you to test what I'm saying against the Word of God for yourself. Use your own discernment, and then remember to come on back tomorrow as we continue to learn that God is self-existent.